In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear saints, today, above all other days, you and I confess that Jesus was doing something on the cross that we could not do ourselves. Jesus saving me because I cannot save myself. Jesus securing peace with God because I cannot do that myself, receiving God's wrath so that I might receive God's favor, forgiving my sin, my many, many, many sins. Justification, made righteous, justification by grace, not by works indeed. Just look at what Jesus endured for me. Jesus saves. Jesus holds to me when I cannot hold myself. Jesus receives my shame when I can barely handle the shame in which I feel every once in a while. Jesus promising me that he will never leave me or forsaking me, and those promises remaining true whether I believe them or whether I feel them, they are true. This wasn't in the text this evening from John, it's from Luke. But it's familiar enough that Jesus crucified with two criminals, one deriding him, mocking him, and the other repenting. One saying, "You who said you could save others, save yourself, save me too." The other one saying, "Do you not fear God? We are receiving our just punishment. We are getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Pilate agrees. Caiaphas agrees. Herod agrees. This man has done nothing wrong. When could that ever be said about you? When could that ever be said about me? Even when you are right, you're still sometimes mean about it. Even when I'm right, I still judge, I still condemn, I still mock, I'm still cruel. But this man has done nothing wrong. And it took that man's innocent suffering and death to receive everything that I have done wrong, because I am by nature wrong with God and wrong with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to secure this answer to that thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. It took that man's innocent sufferings and death to secure this answer. If you are looking for me, then let them go. Satan, if you want me, then let them go. Death, if you want me, then let them go. He has not lost one. He will not lose you. That is his promise. He prays from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and how true that is. You and I do not even begin to think that we know what our sin does to ourselves, what our sin does to our families, what our sin, my sin, not pointing to someone else, but pointing right at yourself and saying, "I have no idea what my sin does to the people that I love, let alone to the people that I don't even like." But he secures forgiveness. "Today I'll be with you in paradise." That's the response. The response to this prayer: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's faith. Faith that asks Jesus for his personal favor. Remember me. Remember, remember, remember what you have promised to the world, Lamb of God who takes away their sin. Remember what you have promised when Adam fell, that there would be one who crushed Satan. Remember what you promised to Abraham, a seed born that will bless many. Remember what you promised to King David and King Solomon, a king to rule over the entire world. Remember what you promised to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and what you have promised to me through them, one who gives peace and rest, one who has one who comes, who is heavy labored and promises, I will give you rest. Remember me, Jesus. Remember the promises that you made. Don't remember my sins. Don't remember my faithfulness. Don't remember anything that I have promised to you, but remember everything that you have promised to me, that when I sin, you forgive me, that when I am weak, you are strong, that when I forget to pray and pray too weakly, that you give me your spirit that prays with words too deep, too groaning, groaning too deep for words. Remember when I am dying, that you promise that yet will I live. Remember that when I am suffering, you and your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Remember me. And Jesus does for you and for that criminal that day today. But pause for a moment and just open your eyes to see what it would look like for that man. For that man died that day a criminal's death. That man's body was taken down and most likely tossed in with other criminals. If you just look with your eyes, it doesn't look any different. If you just look with your eyes, you don't look any different. You look much like the rest of the world. If you just look with your eyes at the people that you have loved, that you have watched age or get sick or suffer tragedy and die, the ones who are in Christ, it does not look very different. And that is why the Christian is invited to pluck out their eyes and put them in their ears. Don't judge by what your eyes see. Judge by what God promises. The promise today, when your loved one died, that day, they were with Jesus in paradise. The promise that you, when you die, that day, you will be with Jesus in paradise. The promise that as you look around this world, Satan is not winning. The promise that politicians don't rule this world, Jesus is king. The promise that Jesus will win is winning. That is your promise. Pluck out your ears. Pluck out your eyes and put them in your ears, because Jesus' promises are your jewels. They are your treasure. They are the answer.